Should you ever make a request to God twice? Do you ever pray about something twice? Well, you know what? It may surprise you to find out that Jesus prayed for a blind man twice and even asked him what had happened. Stay tuned for the gospel truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is my last day to be teaching on the subject I've entitled, A Better Way to Pray. I've been teaching on this for 6 weeks, and today's my last day. I really haven't said everything that could be said. I could teach on this forever, but we are going to end the series today. I want to remind you once again that this is my book on A Better Way to Pray, and I believe that this is just powerful. And hopefully this is going to change not only individuals, but man, it'd be wonderful if this caused a revolution or a reformation in the body of Christ concerning the way we pray, because I believe that there's some major, major errors in the way that prayer is being taught and implemented today. So that's why we've been teaching on this. Today's my last day, and so I encourage you to please go to the effort of getting these materials. They're for your good. I know many of you think you watch the program every day and you don't need to get the materials. You've heard all of this, but there's a difference in getting it in 30-minute segments over 6 weeks versus having all five of these teachings and just listening to them like in 1 day or 2 days, or having the ability to go over and over it. Plus, getting the materials allows you to share these truths with other people. And I would really like to be reaching more people. We're spending a lot of money being on as much television as we possibly can. And yet, did you know we could double our outreach if every person watching just got these materials, and whether you feel like you need to listen to it again or not, get the materials and pass them on to someone else. And that could double the number of people that we're reaching. So I encourage you to please get them. Remember that today is my last day to be offering you this teaching. Now, on our program yesterday, I was talking from Mark chapter 8, and we were showing one of the most unusual ministries recorded about Jesus. This is where he took a blind man by the hand, led him out of the town of Bethsaida, and prayed over him. And then, the only time that this is recorded, Jesus asked a person he ministered to, can you see? Did it work? Is there any manifestation? That's the only time that Jesus did this, and it's also the only time he ever ministered to a person twice, because after he had ministered to this blind man said, I see men as trees walking, and Jesus laid hands on him a second time, and the second time he saw everything clearly. And I've been trying to use this to illustrate the point that I've been teaching about prayer is a process. When you ask for something, God moves instantly. God's power is released instantly. It's a done deal, but it doesn't automatically or instantaneously affect or change the physical world. There is a process from when God moves in the spiritual world to when you see it in the physical world. And man, I've said a lot. I'm not going to go back over all of that again because today's my last day and I've got some other things I want to carry, other things I want to say. But it is so important that you get this point. I encourage you to please get these materials. And Jesus, see, understood this. He knew when he asked this man, can you see? What do you see? He wasn't saying, did God move? Did God release his power? Because that would have been unbelief. That would have been a question of unbelief, and Jesus didn't operate in unbelief. So that wasn't his purpose for answering this question. Rather, it revealed that Jesus knew God, his Father, had released the power. He was confident that the healing power of God was flowing in this man, but he was aware that it's a process and that Satan can hinder healings. That's why he grabbed this man by the hand and led him out of the town, because this man didn't approach Jesus and take a step of faith. He needed to do something to take a step of faith. And also, Bethsaida, according to Luke chapter 10, was one of the two most unbelieving places Jesus ever ministered. He pronounced a warning against Bethsaida and against Chorazin. And so the atmosphere of unbelief was there. This man was struggling with unbelief, and Jesus knew that God, his Father, had released his power when Jesus commanded it. He didn't doubt God. He knew he was operating in faith, but he was aware that Satan could hinder what God's will is through the unbelief of other people. So it wasn't a question of, did God do anything? He knew God had done his part. It was more a question of, are you having trouble receiving this? Is there any hindrances? How are you? Are you completely manifest, or is there still any problem? It wasn't a question about what God had done. It was a question of how this man was receiving. Boy, that's important. That's super, super important. If most of us were put in a position where you were ministering to a blind man, and if you prayed and then said, what can you see? Most of us would ask a question like that out of unbelief, not out of clarification, or it's not a question of, are you having trouble receiving? But most of us would say, has God done anything? Because again, most people just assume that the moment God moves, there should be instant manifestation. There is no such thing as time, distance, space. There can be no hindrances. It just automatically works. Well, that's not true. That's not what the Scripture teaches. It is a process from when God moves to when you see it manifest, and Satan can get involved in that and hinder things and delay it. Unbelief is a big hindrance to receiving from God. And so Jesus asked this man if he could see anything, and in verse 24 it says, he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Now, I don't know if you've ever prayed for blind people or not. There's a lot of people that have never done that, but I've prayed for lots and lots of blind people. And I remember one time that I was praying for a man who was blind. I mean, this guy, his eyes were all glazed over. I don't know if I can explain that, but you, I'm sure, have seen this, where you can't see their pupil. They have cataracts or something. I don't know what it is, but their eyes are totally glazed over. There isn't a pupil. It's just all foggy. This guy was like that. He had a stick. He couldn't even see light. And he got born again at one of my meetings. And within a week or two of being born again, he came back and he asked me to pray for his healing. And I was trying to tell him that, you know what, you need to encourage yourself. You need to get strong in faith. I was going to give him some scriptures to meditate on, and I was going to pray for him later and try and build him up in faith. I didn't want him to pray for something and be disappointed if he didn't see full manifestation. And so anyway, I was trying to encourage him to take that other route, and this guy just stood there in front of, this was a Bible study group, and he says, what's the matter? Don't you believe that God will heal me right now? When he put it to me that way, kind of backed me into a corner, and I said, all right, I'll pray for you. So anyway, I prayed for this guy, and to be honest with you, I didn't expect to see a visible manifestation instantly. I expected it to take a period of time. I thought that this guy is so young in the faith, it's going to take a while to increase. And so after I prayed for him, I was getting ready to encourage him. Now, you know what? I've released the power of God. Don't you back off. You stand here. Your eyes are going to start improving. And before I could say anything, he looked up and there was a clock on the wall, and he said, I can see that clock. And he pointed to the cord going down the wall. And you got to remember, when he came in there, he was totally blind, couldn't even see light. So he could see a clock. Now, he couldn't read the clock. It wasn't perfect. It was very similar to this man. He could see things, but it was vague. He could see light. He could tell me that it was a clock. He looked around and started mentioning some things. And even though it was only a partial manifestation of healing, did you know that that Bible study group went wild? People started praising God, shouting and glorifying God. So my point in saying all of that is that when Jesus said, what do you see? He says, well, I can see men as trees walking. You know what? That's a miracle. That's a miracle for a man who had never seen and couldn't even see light to all of a sudden see men as trees walking. Jesus, of course, wasn't operating in any doubt. But if there had have been doubt, well, then this would have been an encouragement. And you would have just thought, well, it's working, praise God. And you'd have gone on and just rejoiced, and that had been it. But see, Jesus didn't ask this question because he had doubt about whether God had moved or not. He was asking it to find out where this man was in his receiving. And this man had only partially received what God had given completely. And so that's the reason that Jesus laid hands on this man a second time. It wasn't to pray a second prayer like, Well, Father, I don't know why you didn't heal him the first time. It was obvious that God's healing was already there. This guy was, say, 50% well. Jesus wouldn't have prayed a prayer and said, well, the first prayer didn't work. Let this second prayer work. See, if that's the way that you look at praying at something more than one time, well, then that's a prayer of unbelief. If you ask God to heal your body and then you go back and ask again, then you don't believe that one of those two times, you don't believe that God answered your prayers. You don't believe that anything happened, or you wouldn't have asked for it again. You don't only have to ask for something one time. But if you don't see physical manifestation, and if you understand what I've been trying to say about prayer being a process, and that when God gives, it sometimes takes a period of time, and that Satan can get in and hinder that through other people or through whatever, if you understand what I'm saying, then if you don't see a complete manifestation of what you've prayed for, instead of just going your way and kind of ignoring it and hoping that things just continue to work, you can get in and stop that. You can stop the unbelief. You can stop the hindrances of other people. You can separate yourself from the unbelief. You can take authority over the devil if he's been causing other people to be involved. And there's things that you can do. So see, it is proper to continue to pray about something, but it's not proper to ask for the same thing over and over and over. You only ask one time. You believe that God answered that prayer, and you believe that the power of God has been released. The answer is in the pipeline. It's flowing towards you. But if it hadn't come out the spigot yet, then you can do something to unclog that pipe, to let it flow freer, to see the power of God manifest. And in that respect, you can and should continue to pray about things. Just don't continue to pray asking for something over and over and over. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 1, when you ask for something, when you ask for wisdom, don't waver, because he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So why did Jesus lay hands on this blind man a second time? It wasn't because he doubted that God had answered his prayer the first time. This man had already manifested a great miracle. It wasn't complete, but it was obvious that God had already moved. Why did he lay hands on him a second time? Did you know that doing something like this would have gotten him kicked out of most faith churches? Because they'd say, oh no, you just don't pray about something more than once. Well, you don't ask for something more than once. I'd agree with that. But it's even better. Instead of just praying and believing that you receive and then refusing to even consider that there's still a hindrance, that your healing is only partially way there, instead of just ignoring it and hoping that it just continues until the process is complete, it's even more faith if you know that God moves, you understand that it's a process, and you can pray and then look directly at the thing that you are wanting to happen, and if you don't see it, know that there is something blocking that flow. God's already moved. And so there has to be a hindrance in the pipeline somewhere. And you can Roto-Rooter that pipe. You can clean things out. You can let it flow freer. You can clean out whatever the hindrance is. And see, that's a better step. It's a step in the right direction to pray and then just ignore anything to the contrary of what you've prayed. But it's not the best step. The better step is what Jesus did, to know that God is answered, to know that the power has been released, but is there a blockage? Is there a hindrance? You look at that. You talk to the person you're speaking to and ask them, can you see? Is it working? And if they tell you that it's only partially complete, don't doubt that God has moved, but instead just what Jesus was doing is, if Satan, in this unbelief that was hindering this man, if that unbelief would stop the flow, you know, if one dose of the Holy Ghost could be hindered, well, then just give him another dose. Just give him another shot of it. It's like if you have something flowing through a pipe, you know what? You can actually increase the pressure in that pipe and blow out whatever the obstacles are. If you are releasing the anointing of God towards a person that you're praying for, and if they've got fear and unbelief or something that's hindering it, well, then just pray for them again. Not pray in the sense that, God, it didn't work the first time. Let's see if it'll work now. That would be unbelief, and it would cancel out your first prayer. But instead, say, Father, I know that You've given. It's not a matter of You giving. It's a matter of us receiving, and there's a hindrance here, and we're going to continue to stand and speak this and take our authority and command the devil to get off of this situation. And you just keep that power flowing, and what it'll do is overcome those hindrances and shorten the period of time in between when you say amen, and there it is. That's what Jesus was doing. And so Jesus laid hands on this man a second time, and immediately He looked up and He saw every man clearly. What would have happened if Jesus would have just let this man go? There was the potential that the healing power of God was in him, and it would have continued. But you know, probably what would have happened, he would have gone back to his hometown, he would have gotten people criticizing him, he would have got into unbelief, and he would have regressed and have been back totally blind again. You know, many of the people that I've heard from these healing ministries, Catherine Kuhlman was one that I used to be associated with a long time ago, and Catherine Kuhlman made this statement that 90% of the people who had verifiable healings in her ministry lost those healings over a 3 or 4 year period of time. And it's because of this principle right here. The unbelief of other people can hinder things. And Jesus told a man in the 5th chapter of the book of John, He says, go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon you. That was a man who was lame and was healed from being lame. And he associated sickness and disease with sin, and this man going back into that position of sin. And so, yes, you can lose your healing. Actually, it's not probably right to say lose your healing, but you quit believing. You get influenced by the unbelief of other people, and all of a sudden you go back into sickness instead of staying in health. It's not that you lost it. It's that you quit believing it. You turned off the power, and immediately that thing begins to come back on you. Notice what happened after this man was totally healed. In verse 26, it says, Jesus sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Now, this is amazing. This man apparently had dealings in that town. He sent him home. He sent him to his house, but he said, don't go back into town and don't tell it to any in the town. You know why that was? It goes back to the 22nd verse. The reason that he took this man by the hand and led him out of the town was because Bethsaida was one of the most unbelieving places Jesus had ever ministered. In Mark chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. He had to separate people from unbelief. He had to take this man away from that unbelief, and he didn't want that man going back into a position of unbelief. Did you know all of the people in that town could have benefited greatly of hearing this great testimony about a blind man being healed, but yet Jesus told him not to tell anybody in that town. Why? Because of their unbelief. He could have had their unbelief stop the flow of that anointing, and he could have regressed and gone back into being blind. And so it's the same thing with us. When we pray for other people, instead of just praying and saying, you're healed, and then they continue to go off in a wheelchair, they go off on crutches, they go off blind using their stick. I'm not saying that that's 100% wrong. I've prayed with people like that, and I've seen people progressively get better. And you need to be careful. There's been times that I honestly thought that people had no chance of getting healed. I remember one woman in Chicago who had only watched me for a week on television. And she came to my meetings, and she was so weak that she couldn't come down to the meetings. I went up to her hotel room. She was in a wheelchair. She hadn't eaten. She was down to skin and bones. She was on drugs. She was doped up to deal with the pain. And this woman was just virtually on the edge of death. I've seen a lot of people die that looked better than her. That's how bad she was. And so I went up and I tried to minister to her, but she was going in and out. She was sleepy. The drugs were taken. And honestly, I didn't think that she was going to be very strong in faith. She'd only listened for a week. But you know what? I was at least smart enough to not voice my unbelief. I don't understand everything that's going on. So I just prayed a prayer for her and I left. And I actually thought about telling the man that was with me, you know what? She's probably going to die. I thought about it, but I didn't want to say those negative words. 3 months later, I was in Houston, Texas, and this woman came and jumped up on the platform, about a 2 or 3 foot jump, and she jumped up there and says, do you remember me? And I said, no. And she says, I'm the woman in Chicago that was dying of cancer. And you know what? Praise God. I didn't speak forth what I thought. There was more going on. You don't always know what's going on. And so There are times that I pray and I'm not totally against another person who prays for someone and then just walks off and refuses to look at the situation. Sometimes that's all you can do. It may be a step in the right direction. But you know what? If you can, you can stay with a person and know that God has released His power. And if you don't see total manifestation, you can stay there and command it to manifest. And you can get more people healed with that approach than you can just praying for them and walking off and hoping that it works. Here's another example that back in, I think it was in 76 or 77, I held a healing meeting in Childress, Texas. And I taught on the exact subject that I've been teaching on for the last 2 weeks. I used to call this, what to do when your prayers seem unanswered. And I taught on this, and we held a healing meeting. We advertised for the sick, the blind, the lame to come. And anyway, I taught on this, and then I asked for people to come forward. And there was a young man who came up. He was 17 years old, and he was blind in one eye. And I had just taught about how that God always answers and that we can shorten the manifestation period of time by believing, operating in faith, taking our authority, speaking to the problem, etc. So I had this guy come up. I prayed for him. Then I had him cover up his good eye and look through his bad eye. And I said, how many fingers do I have up? And this guy couldn't even see my hand. He couldn't even see light through that eye. I had to turn his head towards my finger. And you could just feel the unbelief in all of the people that were there saying, oh, it doesn't work. And so what I did was dismiss the crowd. And I said, those of you that are struggling with this or don't understand whatever, you're free to go. But those of you who believe what I said, that God has done it, it's not God who hasn't given. It's just a process and it's our unbelief and we can pray through this and we can get a manifestation. I want you to stay and pray. And there was about 20 people or so that stayed. And we just prayed over this guy for about 30 minutes. And every 5 minutes or so, I'd have him stop and I'd say, now cover up your good eye. And I'd say, can you see my fingers? And he couldn't see anything. And we did that for about 25 or 30 minutes. And I knew that God had released His power. I knew that God's power was there. And He said, when we lay hands on the sick, they recover. So I knew it wasn't God who hadn't given. I was trying to believe the best I could. I believe that there was a hindrance of unbelief because this was something that most of us had never seen. And I was just praying and saying, God, give me wisdom. And I had this thought come to me that says, He doesn't need a healing. He needs a miracle. It's the first time I'd ever thought that. I didn't understand really what it meant, but I was just thinking about it, wondering, is that God? And while I was thinking about it, my associate pastor, Don Crow, he says, God just spoke to me and says, He doesn't need a healing. He needs a miracle. So I asked him what happened, and when he was a kid, he had an infection, and they surgically removed the lens and the retina from his eye, and he didn't even have the parts of his eye there to see. And I said, you know what? You don't need a healing. You need a miracle. So then we prayed again. I cut my hands over his eye, commanded a lens and a retina into his eye. Then I had him cover up his good eye, and I said, how many fingers am I holding up? And he goes, 1, 2, 3. He could see. And you know what? That was better than just praying for him and trusting that the power of God was working and let him go. I'm not sure that he ever would have seen just left to his own. We needed to do that, and we need to do that more often. You know, I'm out of time today, and man, I've still got things to share, but it's all in these materials that we're offering. Remember that today is my last day to offer you this teaching on a better way to pray. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you some information. We have DVDs available. We have audio CDs. We have a book. And I encourage you to please take advantage of this. Today's our last day. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled, A Better Way to Pray, is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. The fifth audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth teaching free of charge. Request teaching TY25 titled, Prayer is a Process When You Write or Call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, many of you are being blessed and you're getting this truth about how important the Word is, and you don't even know how to get started. You don't know where to read. You don't know what to do. You know, that's the reason we put out our materials. They can help you. But really, the best thing I have to help you get into the Word of God is our Charis Bible College. And we not only have this campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 different Bible colleges scattered around the world. We also have an online Bible school that we just started this month, and you can now go online and in a class setting where you are interacting with other students, you can go through our online Charis Bible College. There's a lot of ways for you to take advantage of it, but I encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen and pursue participating in our Charis Bible College.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference this week, March 3rd through the 5th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 15th through the 17th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock of Atlanta in Atlanta, Georgia, April 18th, in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 13th through the 15th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 28th through the 31st.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 10th through the 12th for our Charis Bible College Campus Days. This is where we invite people to come in and check out our classes. We will be holding regular classes. It begins on a Wednesday and goes through Friday. You'll be sitting in on our Bible college classes. You'll get to hear the instructors. You'll get to have lunch with the faculty. There is also a soup supper. And it's just going to be a great time of the Word ministering to you. But also, if you have ever thought of coming to Charis Bible College, you need to be here. It's amazing what happens when people just come and try it out and get a taste of it. They get hooked on it. So I would encourage you to come check us out March the 10th through the 12th for our Charis Bible College Campus Days.
Tomorrow on Gospel Truth.
And when I saw that he was from England, I connected that with this prophecy and I said, praise God, this is bound to be that porter, this door opener that was prophesied.
I think over the next 5 to 10 years, the dream of my heart is for people really around the world and for my brothers and sisters in America to realize that Andrew Womack Ministries is truly a worldwide ministry.
That's tomorrow on The Gospel Truth.